Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Keith Algetz. He is a veterinarian for the Veterinary Medical Center in Williamsburg, Iowa. Thank you so much for joining us, Keith.
Yes, thank you.
I understand that you did a PERS study recently, but you were focusing on very young pigs. Why?
Well, the sow farm had become destabilized to PERS virus and was leaking PERS virus into the suckling piglets. Mm-hmm. So we decided to try a PERS vaccination with the Zoetis Fostera PERS vaccine into the piglets.
At what point did you vaccinate them?
At processing. So the pigs were 3 to 5 days of age when we gave the vaccine.
That strikes me as being pretty young.
It is young, but it takes 3-4 weeks for the pigs to develop immunity to the PERS vaccine. So by vaccinating at that age, you can start the immunity process sooner, which allows them to have protection earlier in their life in the nursery phase, and that's really what we were after with the vaccination.
But when you get an early start like that, is there a concern about maybe that immunity running out of steam later on in life?
With a modified live vaccine, and especially with PERS vaccination, we're more concerned about the effects of PERS virus early in the pig's life than we are later in the pig's life.
What about maternal antibodies? Was that a concern at that young age?
That can always be a concern when you vaccinate at that age. We found virus in piglets, so we're sure that virus was replicating in piglets. So, and we saw an improvement in performance post-weaning with the vaccination. So those two things led us to believe that we developed significant immunity in the piglets.
So now this was not a sponsored study. This is something that you did completely on your own.
That's correct. This is something that we decided to try, and the ownership of the sow farm decided to try to improve piglet health.
And what was the motivation? What was the goal?
Just to reduce mortality post-weaning in the pigs and to provide that level of protection that a PERS vaccination can provide.
So you described this as a case study. Tell me how it was set up.
Well, the farm had started to leak a wild-type PERS virus, and we talked to ownership about things we could do to control it. And one of the options that came up was to use the Fostera PERS vaccine in piglets. It had just been approved for use at that age. It's approved for use at 1 day of age in piglets. So we thought we'd try it.
And that's a big difference because I believe the other vaccine, you use it around 21 days?
Typically is administered at weaning. That's correct.
And so what results did you see?
So when we started the vaccination, obviously our first concern is would it cause any disruption in the piglet health using a modified live vaccine in young piglets?
Sure.
And we were very fortunate as we saw an improvement in piglet health. We saw a continued improvement in preemie mortality in piglets that were vaccinated. And we saw a reduction in nursery mortality in the piglets that were vaccinated. So we've continued to use the vaccine. And that decision was made from ownership or people that received those piglets wanted us to keep giving the vaccine.
So as a result of this study, please walk me through like your typical recommendation now for beginning with the sows and vaccination and into the grower pigs. What's your attack plan for PERS?
Well, that's determined by the PERS status of the sow farm. So when a sow farm becomes destabilized to the PERS virus or begins leaking virus into the piglet, meaning the infection's active, okay? At that time, we don't make any PERS decisions on any of our sow farms without talking to ownership. So we'll present them with different options. One option, of course, is starting to vaccinate piglets at processing. And also, before we start vaccinating piglets, we introduce the vaccine into the sow farm to provide protection to the sows and then subsequently vaccinate the piglets.
Were there any secondary benefits from the result of this program? Did you see, you indicated that you had good protection against PERS, but what about in the overall performance of the pigs?
We didn't measure performance on a growth rate feed conversion basis. We really just looked at mortality, and we saw a continued improvement in mortality in vaccinated piglets.
How important is whole herd immunity?
Oh, it's huge, and anything we do regarding the PERS virus in sow farms, we have to take a comprehensive look at the sow farm and decide whether the use of a modified live vaccine is appropriate, right? There's other control measures we can incorporate into the sow farm. So the vaccination of sows and or piglets is one part of a PRRS control program that we would use at certain times and not use at other times. In the location, many of our sow farms are PRRS positive, being our sow farms are located in Iowa, and there's a lot of pressure from the PRRS virus, and many of them have chosen to use modified live PRRS vaccines in the sows and subsequently vaccinate piglets.
Obviously, biosecurity is very important when it comes to PRRS. What are some of the typical lapses that you see in the field that need to be tightened up?
Yeah, well, I would say the PRRS virus can be transmitted through the air. Mm-hmm. And obviously, developing a filtration system for a sow farm is certainly a huge biosecurity improvement, although it's difficult to incorporate it and expensive. And many of the older sow farms have not chosen to use that technology yet. This tends to be more of a new sow farm technology. Not saying that as time goes on that won't become more of a popular decision, but biosecurity-wise, I mean, as a veterinarian that works in swine farms, that's a big portion of what we talk about on a day-to-day basis and try to keep viruses, whether it be PRRS virus or PED virus, off of sow farms. But some of these viruses can get transmitted through the air, mm-hmm. and those are difficult to incorporate a biosecurity procedure to stop that without taking a huge step in, you know, using filtering.
What are some other areas of biosecurity that could use more attention?
I think products that enter farms. Those can be
feed,
difficult.
For example.
Feed deliveries, people that come onto farms, genetic deliveries. Sow farms need repairs done. There's a lot of different avenues, a lot of different things that you need to explore to develop a comprehensive biosecurity plan for a sow farm. Lots of areas.
We've talked about vaccination and biosecurity. What else can producers do to try to keep PRRS at bay?
Well, I think developing a strong relationship with your veterinarian is huge to help you incorporate exact and productive biosecurity measures. Understanding the PRRS virus infection in your system is important. And understanding ways to control the PRRS virus, whether it be herd closure, and developing a naive status, whether you want to spend the money it would take to filter your sow farm. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different technical areas that need to be explored. Your veterinarian's a great resource, I think, to help you make those decisions.
And what about diagnostics? When you have a herd, PRRS is suspected, what is a typical procedure?
We're very fortunate in Iowa to have the Iowa State Veterinary Diagnostic Lab. So we can send in serum, and serum from piglets is what we want to select to find the PRRS virus, and we can submit those samples in 24 hours, get results, accurate results from our diagnostic lab. So very, very fortunate to live in a state that has a very strong diagnostic lab that can give us accurate results within 24 hours. But serum for piglets is the first area where we would look for PRRS virus.
Now, PRRS, like a lot of other viral diseases, usually is not working by itself. There are other viral diseases that are in the pig at the same time. Have you found a particular relationship between other viruses and PRRS that seem to kind of feed on each other in particular?
Well, most sow farms are infected with swine influenza virus. Mm-hmm. But I would say the PRRS virus can do plenty of damage on its own. It can really, just by itself, can cause a lot of mortality and cause a lot of disruption in the production side of a sow farm. So,
and is it more mortality or is it more reproduction?
Well, it's both. So it's reproductive losses from poor conception rates, poor farrowing rates, abortions, and then the farrowing of weak piglets that have much higher mortality in the up to the weaning stage. And then it's mortality post-weaning. And it's all the secondary infections, which what you alluded to with Haemophilus parasuis, with strep suis, and other bacterial agents that seem to have more vigor at causing clinical disease when PRRS virus is with them.
Now, you presented the results of your case study at the 2017 American Association of Swine Veterinarians meeting. What sort of questions did you get afterwards?
Well, people typically ask me, because I've given this talk a few times, is they're surprised at the results, because the results were pretty staggering, that we saw really large improvement in piglet health post-weaning. you know, whenever you have a case study like that, there's other factors that can influence. So we certainly don't expect to see the reduction in mortality every time that we use this vaccine, but we are confident that the use of the vaccine does no harm when we give it into sows, and when we use it at processing, we don't see any harm from the vaccine, and we're pretty confident that we can improve the health of the pigs post-weaning with it. I don't know that we'll always see such a dramatic improvement as we saw in this case study, but we're confident that we can help the pigs.
Well, any win or victory over PRRS has got to be
That's
worthwhile.
Right.
It has to feel good.
That's
so
correct.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
You. Thank
We've
you.
Been talking to Dr. Keith Aljetz. He is a veterinarian at the Veterinary Medical Center in Williamsburg, Iowa. Keith, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.